It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, let's go around the NFL here on a Monday in the loop on Sports Radio 610. And there's a number of things, including stuff that's coming out of the NFL league meetings in West Palm Beach, including this, which, I mean, it's not a major thing, but it's a nugget that I only relatively recently just saw, which is that the Colts are going to have their QB competition between Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones. They're going to split reps. Like, this is truly going to be fully down to the snap competition early on in camp for the Colts, which I just continue to look at, and I'm not gonna lie, I laugh a little bit. I do.
Oh yeah, yeah, you do laugh a little bit, but I mean, Shane Steichen said it from the start, wants to give Anthony Richardson some competition. Is he? I mean, I guess if they're gonna split reps, you know, by definition, that's gonna be competition.
And Chris Ballard as well, right? Like, they've been pretty big about that competition, but OTAs is where it'll start for them, and they will both be on the docket as throwing the football. So, yeah, that's tough. Mm-hmm. Not for the Texans, though, especially as they continue to make their defense stronger. Obviously, adding EJ Speed, a linebacker with a lot of athleticism, ability to stop the run, which was something that was hugely, which was very big as a focus, a point of emphasis for this team. So, yeah, that'll be good for the Texans as the AFC South continues to be. Mm-hmm. Some other things around the NFL. We talked about Justin Tucker and the situation that he has dealt with a massage therapist and seeming misdeeds or.
Yeah. Bad situation.
Yes. poor behavior in various massage parlors. Well, the Ravens are going to continue to play the waiting game with Justin Tucker, and they say that they'll follow the NFL's lead, and the NFL is typically in this place where they'll follow someone else's lead. So I don't know that we'll get any real resolution on this anytime soon, which isn't a good look for the Ravens.
Oh no, it's a horrible look, and the waiting game for what? You know, like just for a resolution from not necessarily you know, a legal case? I mean, a criminal case or anything like that? I mean, what's the, what are they waiting for?
I don't know, but I'm not sure that they do either. I think the idea is just to push off having to actually make a decision for a while.
Yeah.
And I don't know that that helps you in the court of public opinion. Not that necessarily that is the ultimate way that you have to look at this, but you definitely have to consider that a little bit stronger. But I guess if you were looking at a team that looked at the court of public opinion and said, that's not going to kill you, it'd probably be the Ravens, considering
one of them.
They really mishandled the Ray Rice thing. And look at that. I don't think that that really stopped them from being a relative fan favorite or losing a large section of their fan base. Mm-hmm. Although, like, again, it's not something to be proud of by any stretch. Like, obviously, there was some really, really devious things that happened in those circumstances that you would have hoped, especially a league that prides itself on being zero tolerance or what have you, would have moved quicker on. But here they are again, like, kind of dragging their feet.
And this is just going to play out in such a way where they move on from him, right? You would think.
It really
without
does
necessarily
like
saying it's because of this, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I would think.
Yeah. All right, we return to the league meetings where it seems like a couple of things are gaining steam. One, it feels like has been evident for a very long time, and that is an 18-game season. I don't know exactly how soon we should be expecting this, but the more and more that we see instances for the NFL to talk about this, the more and more it pops up. Roger Goodell seems like he's made it his personal pet project to get to 18 games, and of course, he would, because his job as the commissioner is to try and incentivize or in trying to garner more revenue for the NFL, and having more more inventory in the way of games is going to do that. Are you in on an 18-game season?
No, I'm not in on an 18-game season, but I'm resigned to the fact that it's going to happen. The only way I would be in on it is, you know, sort of pretty much eliminating the preseason, which maybe the most they'll do is go down to one game or something like that. But it's a negotiating point, and he keeps floating it out there. He and they keep floating it out there for going on 2 years now, at least 2 years. So it's going to happen. I mean, it's a matter of, like, are they going to be able to vote on this, you know, now? I mean, there's a lot of things that they're going to talk about reportedly in these meetings, including the 18-game schedule. So I don't know how quickly it could happen. It could be quicker than we thought.
Yeah. Mike Tomlin, in fact, was asked about it, and he said that he hears it like we do. He thinks it's been thrown about so much with so much regularity that it is indeed inevitable. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Can you envision a way that you would actually enjoy this, like that you would actually like this, whereas maybe they stretch the season further into February and you have further into January, and then, you know, the back end of the season moves accordingly with an additional bye week in there for every team. Like, are there ways to make this more palatable?
I can tell you right now, as much as I'm philosophically against it, but resigned that it's going to happen, well, I'm going to enjoy it. I think everyone is going to enjoy it. Like, that's the problem. It's like the NFL knows that we're going to consume another regular season game. It's going to make it more interesting. It just kind of makes you feel dirty in some ways, and I think it still comes down to you got to get rid of the preseason.
Yeah. I'm actually excited about it because I know that will get rid of the preseason because it's cool, the first preseason game, just kind of just seeing the, you know, the football, real action football instead of the training camp. But after a while, it's just like, man, we wasting time on game number 3 and all that
stuff. We're just kind of twiddling our thumbs.
Yeah, like this don't even matter, man.
And I know we've disagreed on this before. I do think this preseason run-up matters. It's obviously how these teams help make the determinations on the roster. But I think also, like, it helps get these guys up to speed. And we've seen a little bit less quality in the start of the season. On top of that, I think that, hey, man, I'm not playing the sport, but you're seeing these guys play a sport that is so particularly physically demanding. And yes, you could say, all right, well, you expand the rosters or what have you. Mm-hmm. What are the things that you do? But that is not going to change the fact that the guys that you want to see at the very top end, they're going to play 18 games if their body permits them. And I think that you're giving yourself to a place where you have less and less possibility of their bodies permitting them. And I think ultimately you're not going to get as good of a product. You're watering it down in some ways, and I think you're tempting things.
But we're going to love it. And the reason I disagree is I feel, obviously, we all know it's a year-round sport. They're always going to be in condition. The ramp-up is going to be the same in terms of they're not going to change practices at all. It's just going to be the preseason games. that you're going to get rid of. And to me, the other part of it is, like you said, there's been less quality. I think the drama and the ebb and flow of how a season goes is going to make it more interesting. Hey, they started out slow or they started out fast, but now we're 10 games in, 12 games in, and things are changing. I think it's going to work, and we're going to be all in. Man, we're going to be all in.
Well, it seems like whether it works or not, it'll be sooner rather than later that we find out what it looks like. Because, I mean, you've got people in the league in various capacities looking at me like, yeah, this is
going to happen.
This is downright inevitable, including Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin, by the way, asked about something else. He was asked if there was a deadline for an Aaron Rodgers decision. And he said, quote, "Not to my knowledge. You know, I don't know that we've approached it from a deadline perspective. Certainly, as I mentioned, you'd like to have settled circumstances, but, you know, deadlines don't often bring that to a head.
Even Mike Tomlin has been held hostage. Of all the coaches that you would think would sort of kind of put a stake in the ground or whatever, even Mike Tomlin is being held hostage by Aaron Rodgers' whims and weirdness.
I mean, because otherwise, where is he getting a quarterback?
Well, yeah, Mason Rudolph. I mean,
and I repeat, otherwise, where is he getting a quarterback?
Exactly. Draft one? I don't know.
I do want, like, this feels like he could take this in OTAs if he really wanted to.
Absolutely.
I do wonder what the conversation is, because it feels like he is certain that he wants to play.
Mm-hmm.
I guess maybe he's still just waiting on the possibility of a Vikings situation, because it does feel like they have left that door relatively askew.
Yeah.
Even if they have largely kind of said that they are happy with the quarterback room that they have with J.J. McCarthy, who they have not named their starter, mind you.
According to him.
Right? So, and he says he's good with that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it feels like, hey, man, go ahead and settle in here, even though I don't think that that's a great situation per se, right? But it does feel like, go ahead and settle in, know what you're going into, be able to get your mind right for that situation and help your team. Because at some point, right, you end up in what I in my mind, I think of as like the Carmelo Anthony situation, where in trying to get to a place, you handle it in such a way where you ultimately hamper your ability to be good in that place.
Yeah.
And you know the reason why I say this. Carmelo Anthony wanted to go to the Knicks when he was with the Nuggets. Except he forced his way there instead of just waiting for free agency. They had to trade, and he lost some of the talented players
to
play around.
Yeah.
Not exactly the same way, but, I mean, go ahead and get there so you guys can start crafting the way that this looks.
He doesn't care. I mean, he just doesn't care. That's the way he is.
Yeah, I can't really counteract that. Yeah. Like, we have a preponderance of evidence at this point.
He's Aaron Rodgers.
But, yes, you hope that he finds a way to be better. All right. Is this a big deal or no big deal?
Mm-hmm.
I'll ask you, Lopez. The New York Jets, you know how sometimes we get to a point in the season where we're like, man, this team stinks. Fire everybody. The Jets are taking that kind of literally, as they've offered buyouts to roughly 170 of their 250 employees.
What is going on? When I saw this, I mean, they're not in financial straits, dire straits.
Nah, the Johnson family got money.
They've got money. The league's got money. The team's got money. Is this just like, we got to change everything? Or what is going on?
Well, it seems like there are leaks that they feel like are
a level of issue.
I don't know that that absolutely changes it. Like, it seems like they want an organizational change, but the way that an organization goes about things, the MO, seems like it starts from the top, and I don't think that is shifting.
Yeah.
This feels like it's, as much as it, you say it and you're like, oh, they're getting rid of a whole bunch of employees, and that sounds kind of good in just kind of talking terms. This seems like the telltale sign of an unserious organization and one that is not good.
Yeah, seem like somebody paranoid.
Absolutely.
It seems like you super paranoid. You don't know where it's coming from, so
like,
I'm going to fire everybody.
Which, and that's 170 out of 250. So, like, which assistant social media manager is going to be telling secrets, you know, or whatever it may be.
It's just silly. And 9 times out of 10 is probably somebody that's right next to you.
Yeah.
At a very high level. Yeah.
You know, that's where it comes from.
That's clearly the reason that they haven't had a good quarterback. Or even the instances where they've had a quarterback that has talent, like Sam Darnold, he finds somewhere else to go and be some level of successful, what have you. Clearly, it's because
the ticket manager.
170 of your 250 employees have not been the
ticket manager ruined it for
all of us.
It's
the marketing department.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, if you have 170 of your 250 employees, and I'm not going to do the math off the top of my head because I'm not that good at math, but if you have that large percentage of your employees that you feel like are some level of wrong or what have you, does that not reflect poorly on your hiring
practices?
You might need to look in the mirror.
On you, yeah.
Like, I can't imagine that that's good either.
Everybody wrong but me.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of, Justin Fields been named the starter by the general manager of the Jets. He will indeed be the starter. They said, quote, we believe in Justin.
He believes in Justin. I actually don't mind this too much. I mean, at this point, you know, give him the shot that he deserves. You know, you got the new coach, you know, maybe they're going to figure something out. They don't have a lot of options, you know. I actually don't mind it too much, but they do need to look at the quarterback position to see how this plays out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Question going back to the 18-game season from the 409 on the Jim Allen of the Texas Hammer text line. Does an 18-game season lead to load management like the NBA? I mean, I think that you move yourself a little bit closer towards that. The only problem is that you still have so few games comparatively that those games matter a good amount. But you are diluting them somewhat to where that is a possibility, especially. And we already see load management in a very slim way, which is week 17.
Yeah.
Now. No, week 18. There we go. With the bye week. Sorry. Week 18, where that last game, if a team is in a good place, you already see small portions of that. Does this give them the opportunity of like widening it out? Possibly. Possibly.
I think more, it's not going to be as obvious to us, like, oh, we're sitting him, you know, for load management. I feel like there's going to be a lot of those questionables are going to be doubtfuls. You know, in terms of the week-to-week injury report, like so-and-so is questionable. That usually means he's probably going to, well, I shouldn't say, but more often than not, he plays. I think those questionables are going to turn into doubtfuls, and they're just going to err to the side of caution.
Yeah, and I think they're going to figure out a way to play a little smarter, to kind of keep people, like, a little more healthier and just not just running people into the ground. Maybe they might do something before the bye week or something like that where they
– yeah.
They're going to try to figure a way out to get through the whole season.
I mean, a lot of times the way out has just been like, hey, patch it up.
But see, I think there's going to be a little less of that. It's going to come from above. Like, he's questionable. Now, you get into the late in the season, they're going to go back. They're going to revert to that. Hey, we need you to go. But I think by and large, over the course of the season, there's going to be more guys, you know, sort of erring to the side of caution.
And real quick before we go on the text line from the 832, any merit to the Cowboys trading Dak to the Browns?
Oh, God.
I mean, I have not seen a single serious source or place give that any level of credibility. Everybody's like, that just does not make sense. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, we tried to talk about that to see what way do it make sense, but it don't make sense for either side.
In any way.
Yeah.
Whatsoever.
So
we've actually avoided it because it was so silly. And like last Friday, I think I said, let's just get this out of the way. We didn't even get to it then. It's silly.
Yeah.
It's silly on both sides.
You think the Browns going to bring in another high-priced quarterback? Mm-hmm. And like I don't even know how they could do that. And then it's going to be a little more expensive for the Cowboys to trade them.
Yeah.
Good point, though, from the 281. Having a strong number two running back will be key with 18 games. Oh, absolutely. Yep. I do wonder if that might bring back the run game, though. Mm-hmm. Like having something that feels a little bit more sustainable that you can lean on than the pass game.
They should have had two or three running backs, to be honest. Mm-hmm.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we're one series in to the baseball season for your Houston Astros. Do we have a beat on what their identity is yet? We'll talk about
it. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
That next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adatula.
All right, last week, or, you know, at the onset of the baseball season for your Houston Astros, we were trying to figure something out. We were like, what is the identity of this baseball team? And I kind of surprised that we had not gotten there to that point. We're like, actually, I'm not certain. Do we have a beat on that yet through one series?
Yeah. First of all, I'm going to be a total a-hole and grammar geek. It's Bead, right?
Is it Bead?
With a D.
Okay.
Yeah. Not beat. Sorry, Figgy. I hate that.
I'm just going to do my additional research over here and not ask questions to allow you to like progress the segment.
I just always remembered learning it as a bead, like from a gun. You know, the little bead. You draw down the bead from the end of your rifle or whatever.
Okay, you do get a bead on, not a beat on. Yeah, all right, my bad. Yeah.
So anyway,
apologies
to everybody. That was me just being a jerk. I'm going to be it when it comes to that.
Nothing new.
Nothing new when it comes to grammar and usage. No, we don't. We don't have a good feel for we don't have a good feel for what the Astros are yet. One series, that shouldn't be a surprise, but there are some slight surprises here that you and I were talking about before the show. Where's the power gone, man? I mean, where's the extra base hits gone? Just a weird start to the season, or what? You know, what's going on with the extra base hits here?
I'm very excited for the game tonight. Is a Space City or is a City Connect Monday or Space City Monday, I believe is what they're calling them, with the home game on a Monday, which means that the City Connects are going to come out, which is awesome. But yeah, I'm very excited to see what this game looks like to play just another team, because you get three games with one team and there's some things that you want to extrapolate that just you can't necessarily. Mm-hmm. And not to say that this one game changes the data set entirely, but it gives me a little bit to see if, hey, how much of what you were seeing is one particular team and how much of it changes with the different team that you see. But yeah, not seeing a lot of power from this team, I don't want to say it's like entirely unexpected, but it was odd. It was odd to see.
It was odd. That's the way to put it.
Especially as they had really good at-bats. And then also I felt bad for Christian Walker in particular, who was hitting the mess out of the ball. He just kept finding leather, right? Mm-hmm. Hitting the mess out of the ball to the wrong places. And of course, you imagine that after a period of time, it will find grass and he will be able to get on base with some of those swings. But it felt like up and down the lineup, you had really good at bats and you have the guys that, like, statistically you would look at and you go, they should be able to get you extra base hits. But you only end up after a three game set with two of them, if memory serves me correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that feels, and I don't really have a lot to lean this on, but that feels anomalous. More than anything. So, but I mean, it does feel like, though, and I believe Kix Rocks on the YouTube page, I will clean that up, mentions this, that it feels like this all the local teams have the same identity. Tough, gritty, especially defense.
And defense is better than that. Maybe that's something that we're going to be able to lean on. You know, especially infield, up the middle, defense better. But yeah, two extra base hits in three games, but they won two out of three. So that means the pitching has been pretty decent, which it has. You know, the pitching has been decent enough to get the job done. Anyway.
That made me happy, though.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that was a question that you could have maybe had is, all right, does especially the starting pitching, which you're not all the way through it, but does it still look the same or does it look similar? Because you know what you get in Fromber. Hunter Brown has been ascendant, but maybe you could argue that, oh, man, he hasn't done it for a long time. Spencer Arrighetti, especially, you're like, all right, that was a good, you know, second half of the season where you're really clamoring, you know, clawing your way back after having a tough start. Are those guys the same? Like, are those guys going to give you the same type of output? And again, one game is not a, you know, is not enough to really draw full conclusions, but it was an encouraging sign to see both of those guys get out here. Hunter Brown throwing gas,
yeah.
Cesar Argueti handling his business, and both of them doing good work limiting, I mean, was it not very many earned runs in those two games that they started, but then all three of those guys really delivering well. And your starting pitching continues to look like it's going to be part of what you've seen be the recipe for your great Houston Astros team, which is, it starts with really good pitching.
Now, look, and at the top, you know, we all, you know, qualified this early in the season, but those three guys got you pretty much got exactly what you wanted, you know, out of Fromber and Arrigetti and Hunter Brown. Now you got Ronald Blanco going tonight. So, you know, it's going to be encouraging. If you can get that type of starting pitching, and we know it's going to change. We know there's going to be injuries. We know there's going to be ups and downs. But if you can get that kind of starting pitching from just three out of those four, and the prospect of McCullers at some point, you would think coming back, pitched, you know, a minor league game, did okay. I think a couple of innings, couple of hits, maybe a one earned run, something along those lines. But he's kind of ramping up. I think that's where you gain maybe the identity. The starting pitching is not going to be that big of a late a drop off. You know, if you can at least get the top three and then go from there.
Yeah, and yeah. I mentioned it, but the thing that made me I think I was most encouraged by is just the way in which Christian Walker, Isak Paredes, and then maybe not just them in particular, but the emphasis that Joe Espada and his coaching staff has put on that, you know, the attack of the bat, right? Like your plate discipline, that's been good. And of course, that's the type of thing that you can start with the emphasis and you see it, and then maybe it wanes over time, knock on wood, that's not the way that it goes. But they started out with that level of emphasis. How many times in sports do you see a team in their preseason or what have you talk about something that they want to do, and then very early on you see, okay, that was just talk.
Right.
And that's not the case here. Now, they also are, I think, fourth lowest in total bases, which again, you kind of saw, but I think that's the type of process, and sorry to trigger folks that don't like the word process, but that's the type of process that eventually will deliver results, I believe.
Let me ask you this, though. You know, you brought in some guys, and you have some guys that are clearly going to be more patient at the plate, clearly going to be able to maybe work counts and do what we're talking about right here. But if there are others that are sort of forcing it, does that affect, you know, just their ball to bat, you know, sort of approach? You know, like maybe some guys are just built, they need to be more aggressive, you know?
One of those, and tell me if you saw this as well, and because I did feel like watching Jordan.
Like they're not themselves.
Watching Jordan at times, like he would work into a hitter's count, and then there'd be a pitch down main, and the bat would be on his shoulder. I'm like, hey, buddy. I think it was specifically one I texted you about. It was like a 3-0 count.
I think it was the Saturday game, maybe?
I think it was. It might have been Friday, actually. 3-0 count. Here comes a fastball.
That's right.
Here comes a fastball, and he's not swinging. I guess, you know, hey, you know, see if you can work.
Yeah, but you're Yordan.
I'm like, yeah, dog. That potential walk that you get is cool. You putting it about seven rows up is much better for me, right? And I think that's something that I think you have to take time to find the balance. I think that just like with some instances where, like, you establish something to start and try and work it in a different direction. Like, if you're, I don't know, rearing a child, it's easier to start a little bit more disciplined and then kind of let back on the reins as opposed to start, you know, lackadaisical and try and tighten up. I think I would take that similar approach when it comes to your play discipline. I think it's easier to start where you're really conservative.
And then ramp it up.
And ramp it up as opposed to, like, being really freewheeling and then trying to tighten up your eye at the plate. So that's the way that I'm choosing to view it at this point, because we're early enough to be able to wipe away things that we don't like as, you know, just kind of early, and then like take the things that we like and say that this could be a trend.
That was one of the things I was thinking about, and it might have been from that text exchange that we had, because
before you told me that I shouldn't be texting y'all all that nonsense.
Exactly. Right before that, because like Yordan has a good eye. He really does. He knows the pitch selections on which he pulls the trigger. Is really good. And if he's sort of like stopping himself, then maybe we're going to be having that discussion at some point. Not now, other guys that are really good at that, and you don't want them to change, you know, what they do, but you also don't want it to get in these guys' heads collectively. You know, I got to lay off these pitches. I got to lay off. No, you don't. not if they're your pitch.
But I feel like where we are does not necessarily feel like that just yet.
Yeah, not yet.
We'll see how that continues. I mean, hopefully the bats do warm up. And again, there's some little signs that you can point to that you go, all right, I think that this finds its way. But okay, so we have not figured out the identity. What are the things that you do feel solid on with this Astros team at this moment as we take stock?
At this moment, you know, obviously the top three or some combination of the top three starting pitchers. Obviously, you know, I'm concerned about the back end of the rotation, but that's based on a very, very small sample size. But I feel good about the top three. I feel pretty good about Christian Walker. Just because you mentioned it, like he's lacing the ball,
bro.
He's lacing the ball. It's just he's hitting them where they are, and that's going to be huge. First base to me is such a big development right now. We've been talking about first base for years, and I feel like it's going to be ironed out, and it's going to be just fine with him.
And again, you mentioned it. Shout out to Lance McCullers Jr. I want to make sure I get that right. Two innings of work at in Sugar Land versus what was it, the Oklahoma City Dodgers, mm-hmm. I guess. Good work there, man. Like
two innings, two runs?
Yeah, something like
but
that.
But I think one earned.
And he had quite a few strikeouts, mm-hmm. I think, early.
Struck out the side once.
Yeah, he struck out the side in the first, and then it got a little dicey. But I think more than anything, it's just, you know, getting himself back into pitching. And I have not seen anything as of yet that would give me the pause, because it feels like it's the days after the starts or the outings that you have to really be concerned about. And everything seems like it's still in a good place. So hopefully we continue to see that ramp up, and we can see him back with a big league club wearing those City Connect jerseys and adding in to what looks like it's going to be a tough rotation that's really going to be to drive your team forward. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping here on a Monday. We'll do that next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into What's Poppin' here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. It was a fun weekend of sports in various different ways. One of them was the tournament, NCAA tournament, this Elite Eight. Or sorry, the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight, in which your Houston Cougars got victories in both of them. We were talking about that earlier in the day. I very much enjoyed them getting past the Purdue team that had a really good game plan, good defensively, but managing to get the victory, finishing out with one of the best baseline out-of-bound plays that I've seen in college basketball. And then beating up on Tennessee, just absolutely beating them up. Emmanuel Sharpe knocking down shots in a good way. LJ Cryer looking more of himself after that, after having Purdue really kind of put him in a level of check. And then the bigs, I think Francis did a good job. While Roberts was the whole team kind of came together, played some really good basketball, and did not have to stress themselves out. And on to the Final Four, your Houston Cougars go.
Beautiful weekend for the Houston Cougars, man. And I think I was texting you guys. That inbounds play, I think I called it basketball Viagra.
That's what I remember you saying, yes.
That's what that was. If you're a basketball guy, that was about as good as it gets. And then you could almost feel it. Like, they weren't going to let that happen again against Tennessee. Like they got caught. They got worked a little bit. You mentioned it on some of the pick and rolls. The Purdue had a really good game, kind of limiting the bigs. It said that wasn't going to happen again. I mean, they just ran Tennessee out the gym, and it was beautiful in its own way. Just how good they were defensively and what they did. So the Cougs, and we just got a mention of it on the text board. They're only a 4.5. Duke is only a 4.5-point favorite. Some Cougs might say that's disrespectful.
Yeah, some might. I think the BPI has the projection of the game is Duke by 1 point. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, obviously this is supposed to be a pretty tight game. The one thing, and we'll talk more about this as we get closer, I am concerned because Duke is very good defensively in addition to having some of those like high-level players, including obviously Cooper Flagg, who's been an absolute menace. And they've got a lot of size. So we'll see how that plays out. But it's not like the Cougs are any level of underdog or like a large underdog in this way, right, in the ways that we view this, as we have four number ones in the Final Four, as not a lot of people called. I would like to pat myself on the back, but it's not really. I mean, these are, if you look at the ways that I think KenPom is set up,
did you see that stat making the rounds?
Yeah, when it comes to the top 10 teams in KenPom, like when it comes to historically, these four teams, you know, Duke, University of Houston, University of Florida, Auburn, these four teams are in the top 10. I believe they're all top 8, if memory serves me, of the teams that have been tracked by KenPom over the entirety of the time that it's tracked, which goes back how many
97.
Years? 97. To 1997? Like, top 10 teams, these four are top 10 teams since 97. So it kind of made sense that these were going to be the four that you were likely to get.
Should have seen this before I did my bracket, because I had Michigan State winning at one game, so I only got three out of my final.
I didn't tell you. I thought I tried to tell you.
I only got three out of...
I know somebody who did a bracket that never do brackets have all these number ones.
Well, they're all number one seeds. Yeah. We should just put them in the final four.
I know somebody got that.
Exactly.
Susan in the office probably got
100%. This. Susan from accounting 100% has this. First time since 2008 that you have all number one seeds in the final four. So that should be really fun. Some other things that are popping tonight. We mentioned this just a second ago. Tonight, the debut of the City Connect uniforms in person at Daikin Park as they face off against the San Francisco Giants. And so, yeah, really excited to see what these look like in actual
practice. Yeah, it makes a difference,
like.
Doesn't it?
Because it's kind of incredible. I don't know what changes, but sometimes you see them in like...
Because there's athletes in them.
Well, I mean, there's times where you see the athletes, and I know you're referring back to the to the H-Town blue jerseys for the
Texans. Like, oh, they're not
Texans.
So bad when, you know, real players wear them.
But sometimes you'll even see the real players in some of like the promotional photos and stuff, and it just kind of looks different when they're on the field in practice. So.
Yeah.
Like really, as much as like getting back to the Texans, H-Town, one of the things that I think they should probably adjust once you saw them on the field is like maybe a little white outline around the numbers, because they're hard to see the numbers in real time.
They
from the stadium. So maybe we're going to have something similar. Like, they look really cool in the pictures and social media posts, but let's see what they look like on the field.
Yeah, I'm excited to see those. So you'll get that tonight as the Astros will face off against the Giants. Get their second series, still at home, obviously, at Daikin Park. It is Hicks versus Ronel Blanco, obviously taking the mound for the first time this season. 7-10 first pitch for your Astros. Speaking of, I guess, not your Astros, but a former Astro, Kyle Tucker's hit a home run. So my bold prediction that Cam Smith and Isak Bredis were going to home run him down right now. However, you know, still plenty of opportunity to get back. But how about this for former Astro, Ryan Pressly, who, you know, obviously now serves as a closer for the Chicago Cubs. I take you to 670 to score our sister station up in Chicago. And up there, they are getting a feel of the Ryan Stressly vibes as David Haw, I believe that is how his name is pronounced. Apologies if that is not correct. But this is him talking about Ryan Pressly coming in for them this weekend.
I felt it Saturday night watching Ryan Pressly struggle. Oof. Had some major Craig Kimbrel vibes and memories.
Is he still available?
Similarly, Craig Kimbrel came to the Cubs after accomplishing a lot in his baseball career. And he came to the Cubs higher on reputation than results, as it turned out. And trying to squeeze out whatever was last of his career. And when Ryan Pressly struggled again, I'm sorry, that was my reaction and thought. Why was he available? He was available for a reason. The Astros tend to know what they're talking about. I know that there was a setup factor for Josh Hader. It didn't work out last season, whatever the case is. But I'm starting to wonder, why was he available?
They're scarred, man. They are scarred up
there.
Man,
they're like three games in.
Like, this guy, Craig Kimbrel. That's what you get. Hey, by the way, we don't have a lot of room to talk, you know, right now.
No.
With the back end of our bullpen as well. So it's not like, ha-ha. But, yeah, they're in a bad way. That's the Ryan Pressly experience, man.
It is.
In a nutshell.
It absolutely is. Yeah. And so I wish them well. And I wish him well as well. Like, I had no ill will towards Ryan Pressly, but this is something you're going to have to deal with. He will be good. He will be a good pitcher. You're just going to feel it all the way while he's being good. Like, they will not be a nice and easy type closer situation. And Godspeed is ultimately what I come to there. Some other things in baseball. This was just a big thing that happened because they had them little funny bats that are shaped weird.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees did a thing that made the Yankees hate it again. Who could have thought? They got out here with these what people are deeming the torpedo bats, even though they're not really shaped like a torpedo, but they're just shaped funny and people had to find something to call them.
Yeah.
They're these bats where, you know, the normal bat kind of like eases out to the barrel, which, you know, is a little bit wider
like
towards the end, right? It funnels out.
Yeah.
This bat was developed by a former MIT scientist, I believe in the year 2022, I believe, in order to try and take more of the wood in that bat. Obviously still a solid wood bat, as is, you know, determined by or is dictated and asked for by MLB rules. But it takes more of that wood and puts it closer to the label where it seems like more of the Yankees hitters and maybe more hitters in general in the MLB strike the bat and strike the barrel of the bat. So it gives them, in theory, a better opportunity hitting the ball farther. And it did feel like that was the case considering the Yankees had a lot of homers, including back-to-back-to-back homers on Saturday.
And they had like 8 home runs in one game or something crazy.
12 on Saturday and Sunday, something like that. A lot of home runs, a lot of hits.
Many home runs, many hits. Although some of those hits and home runs were Aaron Judge, who is still using his regular bat.
Yeah.
However, it was 9 home runs in a 20-9 victory on Saturday versus the Brewers. MLB spokesman in person told The Athletic, by the way, that the bats don't break any rules. MLB rule has a rule that states that a bat shall, quote, be a smooth, round stick, not more than 2.61 inches in diameter at the thickest part and not more than 42 inches in length. Should be one piece, obviously, and that experimental bats can be used, or can't be used, rather, until the manufacturer has secured approval from the MLB when it comes to the design and methods of manufacturing. So, in theory, that would mean that these bats have been approved, which it seems like people have seen. And we've seen other players around baseball use them. I believe Reese Hoskins.
It's not just the Yankees. That's one of the big misconceptions. Now, a lot of the Yankees are using them, but they're more just sort of here and there with other squads. I want to say somebody this past weekend, in the Astros game was using it, but it doesn't matter. That's neither here nor there. Things I wish I would have invented. I'll never be confused for an MIT physicist, I don't think.
Okay, fair enough.
But I think that's fair enough. But this dude, they're working. They're legal. Whatever he did and is doing, they fit the parameters, as you point out. Who cares?
Should the Astros get on board with this?
Yes. If the Astros were
I was thinking the same thing. People was all like, cheaters. I'm like, hell, if it's legal.
Yes.
Hey, bring them down here to Houston. Mm-hmm.
I think every team needs to do this if it's going to advance the offense, advance the
game. If they're going to be hitting home runs like that.
They're perfectly legal. Now, I will say this. Had the Astros been the first team to use them a lot?
You think it goes different?
Oh, yeah. Cheaters. They always trying to find an edge. Cheat, even though it was perfectly legal, as I said. If the Astros were the first ones, they'd have been looked at a lot differently.
Yeah, I think that part is just the internet. Just going to be the internet. Mm-hmm. So, but if it's legal,
do it.
Yeah.
Are we going to talk about this like the Yankees aren't one of those big teams that people kind of just hate in general as well? Like, I feel like it's not like the Brewers were the first ones to use this, right?
No. But still,
or at least the most prominent. The Astros early
have
adopters.
The Astros have the dark cloud hanging over them.
Sure,
from 2017 for a long, long time.
There it is from the 713 on the text line. God, I hate the Yankees. Which fair enough, fair enough. But you're a golf guy. I view this kind of like clubs, right? Mm-hmm. Where you've seen a major breakthrough in club. Just go ahead and let this thing come back around. And especially, I view it like clubs because. This feels like it's particular to people that hit the ball in a very particular way, right? If you hit the ball at a different portion of the bat, I kind of like the idea that there's a bat that's tailored to kind of the way that you swing the bat. And I don't see this as too different than the axe handles that we saw kind of come along, where if that kind of helps you get what you're looking for, get you to the right spot, I'm good with it.
And why hasn't anybody thought of this like 40 years ago? Like, this is like so common sense. But I guess it's how you design, how you're, sort of cutting the bat and the wood and all that stuff. But they figured it out. It's legal. Go grab you some. Go get you some, Astros.
And what apparently in 2023, when they took this to various teams, I don't know how many teams or which teams, to be fair, but I believe The Athletic was reporting that they took this to teams and they gave them opportunities to kind of get a feel for it, as with a lot of technology. One of the things in sports, I don't know if it's like widely talked about, even though it exists, right? And I think some people do know about it, is that there's always people trying to invent things on the margins of sports and sell them to these teams and organizations. And this was taken to teams to give them a chance to kind of feel it and let their players try it out and see if maybe they would want to employ this.
Yeah.
And it seems like, I think it's fair to assume, that players tried it and a decent amount of them said, no, I'm good with what I have. But you see this is really...
But then the Yankees hired the guy.
Because the Yankees produced like this in the first week of the season, it made this very evident that, this is something that maybe can work. And what's funny is it might not even be the bats themselves. These guys might have just had a hot day. Baseball does this sometimes, right? Yeah. But because of this, like this particular standout performance from the Yankees, people are like, oh, okay, I'm interested in these bats, and maybe you'll see them proliferate.
Let me
like
ask
that.
You guys this. Right now, it's a lot of Yankees, and I would guess, I haven't seen any numbers, but I would guess maybe 10 to 15% of players across baseball that are using these torpedo bats. What's that percentage going to be in September?
Ooh, especially in September when you're looking 50? At some people that maybe 60? Went through a cold streak and want to try something different. I don't know that I'm going as high as 50. I was thinking like 35.
I was going to say about 30%.
If the Yankees keep doing this with these torpedo bats, it might be 50 or 60% by the All-Star break. I mean, that's baseball more than any. They're always looking for that little, you know, that little something.
But they're also creatures of habit. Well, and I'm sure.
A little donut on their thumb or, right. or their little pat on their elbow or whatever.
Well, that's a protection thing.
Oh, sure it is.
But
sure
I feel like people will probably, the people that are struggling a little bit will probably try.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because if you already good, like, you probably ain't going to mess up nothing.
Right.
Or you ain't going to switch it up. But if it's somebody that's struggling. That can't hit.
We're going to see those torpedo.
And they like, you're right. Try that.
That shouldn't. They need to come up with another name. It doesn't look like a torpedo.
Somebody called it like a coke ball. You know what it really looks like is a bowling pin. It looked like a big old, it does. Well, a really elongated bowling pin is what it looks like.
It does.
But I'm excited to see, one, being the sometimes stat nerd that I can be, I'm interested to see, like, what is the actual kind of production that you get from it over a larger sample.
Yeah.
And then just, like you said, how it proliferates. Like, what kind of players end up using it? Because I imagine that you'll find different types of hitters find this more beneficial than others. Because, I mean, Aaron Judge was like, nah, I'm good. And to be fair, seems like he's good.
He's doing all right.
He's doing okay.
Yeah.
And yes, 929, you are right. Like, athletes will try anything. You remember the magnetic kind of balance bracelets?
All of it.
That everybody was,
all of
athletes
it.
Will try all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. But I think baseball athletes are particular creatures of habit, especially when it comes to some of their
superstitions.
Yeah, all that. So yeah. I don't know that it'll proliferate in a way where we get to like 50, 60, but I think that you'll see definitely an uptick. Mm-hmm. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's circle back to football as a lot of coaches and NFL personnel are in West Palm Beach, Florida. What's being said at the NFL league meetings, especially by the head coach of your Texas, D'Amico Ryans? What does he say about the Laremy Tunsil trade? We'll talk about that and more next.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.